1976.
Earl is packing a punch. Lots of folks evacuating still in North Carolina, but not quite what was originally predicted. In fact, right now it's been downgraded to a Cat 2. It's still as large, it's still as strong and bad, and lots of rain is being carried with it and moving onto the coast of North Carolina and then up the eastern seaboard. In the meantime, it's Hamas speaking out, threatening 10 groups now vowing to target Israelis. This on the heels of the discussion in Washington over peace between the Palestinian leader and the Israeli leader, and, of course, our President Barack Obama. This is America Tonight. Hey, everybody, I'm Kate Delaney. No matter where you hail from, I hope that you have a few days off to enjoy with your family, and if you're in that neck of the woods where it's looking like it could flood and some horrible conditions might at least temporarily come your way, maybe you ought to skedaddle and then come back to that place that you rented. Unless you're in a giant hotel somewhere and you're like at the 10th or 11th floor, then who cares? Just start to play games, I guess. Go to CVS and get a bunch of games. That's probably my best advice for you. All right, at the top I mentioned the idea of peace, but what chances do you really give these Mideast talks overall? The idea is there'll be a couple of different installments. So, all right, so you have Abbas, and you have Netanyahu, and you have Obama, and then you have this idea that there'll be a sidebar at the UN at the end of September, but there's going to be a meeting in between. Like I said, it's a brilliant photo op. You have the Israeli prime minister, you have the Palestinian leader, and you have our president in the middle of it. It's just the latest round of let's try again. Why not? George Mitchell, though, I give him a lot of credit. He's part of this crew. And Mitchell seems to cut along different political lines for whatever administration it is. People truly think Mitchell is a great negotiator, so much so if you remember during the whole baseball strike thing several years ago, Mitchell was the guy that everybody wanted to come in and try to settle the dispute. So Mitchell was involved in it. He talked about the idea of the two states, and he also talked about commitment.
They reiterated their common goal of two states for two peoples and to a solution to the conflict that resolves all issues, ends all claims, and establishes a viable state of Palestine alongside a secure state of Israel. I believe these two leaders, President Abbas and Prime Minister Netanyahu, are committed to doing what it takes to achieve the right result.
All right, I'll say one thing. He did get them to pull out their BlackBerries and set hard dates. September 14th and 15th, that's the next time they'll have these conversations. And then pretty much 2 weeks thereafter that they agreed to that. So Abbas said, look, it's time to end the bloodshed. We want peace between the two countries. And here's what he said. Let's sign a formal agreement for peace and put an end to this long period of suffering forever. But the problem is the idea of having a new beginning works when you can split up the land. And you can not, you know, ask the Hatfields and the McCoys about this. It's that simple. If you can't come to an agreement over the land, I don't see how they can ultimately have any everlasting peace. There have been direct talks on and off for how many years? 17 years, back to when Clinton was in the White House. And peace is an elusive thing. Both upset when the deals collapsed in the past, and now it's a question of ultimately if something were to happen, I don't think it will, if something were to happen, somebody's got to budge. That's the bottom line. Because this is the problem. I keep going back to this, but it goes back to the land and the border issues, the final borders. And we're talking about 280,000 Jewish settlers in the West Bank. the Palestinians probably want the right of return. So those who were forced to leave their homes, when were they forced to do that? Back in 1948, when the State of Israel was created. So can they return to their homes? Do they get compensation? Many of the houses aren't even there anymore, or they're inhabited by Israelis. And is this a demand that Israel will ever give in to? And I would say they won't, and that they could never accept that. I don't see how they'd be able to accept it. And then another big hurdle is September 26th is the expiration of Israel's 10-month freeze on settlement construction in the West Bank. So Abbas has declared that the talks will end if Israel doesn't extend the freeze on settlements. Netanyahu is under pressure at home to end the moratorium altogether. And this, in a nutshell, is the real deal here. That's the real deal. And then you have Hamas thrown into the middle of this. And we know what they think about the idea of peace, because they claim responsibility for the attacks in the West Bank that killed four Israelis a couple of days ago, and warned that it's going to continue, that they're going to have these resistance ops against the Israelis. This is why it's nice to have the conversation, but will it ever really become the reality that the Palestinians and the Israelis live with? And I say the answer is no for right there, for the illusion, for the two things that I just, three things really, that I just mentioned that stopped this, that put the brakes on it, absolutely. All right, quickly, I was talking about Earl and the fact that Earl's been downgraded, but there still are warnings because you still have high waves and you still have this storm gathering some more force as it'll cut up to the north. It spins off and goes further up the coastline. In fact, Massachusetts on the path could get slammed. It all depends on whether it makes a sharp right or not, or just brushes against the side of the Jersey shoreline and Long Island, and then, of course, Boston. And really, Canada could get slammed by this. But if it's weakening, then that's a good sign. There's rain, there's high wind right now on the Outer Banks, and people are preparing just in case because of what they're hearing from North Carolina to Delaware into Massachusetts. They've got a hurricane warning for Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket and all the areas around that. A big time Labor Day is when people say goodbye to the summer, but I think of them a lot are deciding to stay inland to see what happens with Earl, and that's probably not a bad thing from things that we have seen happen in the past with hurricanes. So 2-3, depending on whatever, it's really kind of going back and forth between the two categories. And the biggest amount of winds, or the maximum strength of the wind so far, 105 miles an hour. That was reported just after 11 o'clock Eastern time. So that's the good news for the people that live there. Coming up next, we're going to talk about 9/11 with a great guest, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Darling. He was in the bunker, I mean the bunker at the White House, right there with Vice President Cheney, also Condi Rice and the rest of the gang down there. And boy, he's got some interesting revelations. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us here on America Tonight.
The summer specials are here. Colloidal silver, CoQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, super male plex and female plex, memory power, colon enhancer, and more, all on sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Visit herbalhealer.com now for big summer savings on longevity products like HGH, resveratrol, colloidal minerals, and hundreds of natural health products. Herbal Healer Academy has been a global leader of safe, natural medicine, providing natural supplements, correspondence courses, informative news newsletters with ongoing research information to our members since 1988. Sign up for free online newsletters and don't miss McCain's three-point plan for health at the Herbal Healer Academy website, herbalhealer.com. Find natural ways for weight loss, plus men's, women's, and children's health products, and our famous top-selling four-herb tea. The testimonials are incredible! And so are the summer specials at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just three capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
9 years ago, the world watched in horror as the World Trade Center towers went down, the Pentagon was hit, and another plane crashed into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. I've talked numerous times on this show about living in New York at the time I was there and working at the Fan when it happened. But can you imagine what it was like to be a liaison between the White House Situation Room, the Pentagon, and the Vice President Dick Cheney? Our next guest, we're very thrilled to have him with us, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Darling, had that job. He joins us now on America Tonight. Thanks so much for coming on with us, Lieutenant Colonel. We appreciate your time.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Now, you've written a book called 9/11/01, The White House, 24 Hours Inside the President's Bunker. And I think there's just so much that people have no idea what was going on, especially from that point of view. So tell us, when it was all unfolding, how you ended up being the liaison. How did that happen?
Well, to start, obviously I'm a Marine Corps aviator. I flew attack helicopters early on in Desert Shield, Desert Storm. But fast forward to 1998, I was selected to fly with Marine Helicopter Squadron 1, the military Marine 1 helicopter that you see land on the White House lawn. I was a co-pilot for President Clinton and a pilot in command for Vice President Gore at the time. And everywhere the president would go, we would support him worldwide. So obviously a helicopter can't outrun Air Force 1. So we would load all those assets, whether it's his limousines, his helicopters, his secure phones, and we would transport them on heavy Air Force airlift aircraft, and pre-position those 4 or 5 days prior to the president arriving on Air Force One. That's his logistics tail, if you will. Well, in October of 2000, we needed to have a subject matter expert, a Marine aviator, go up to the White House and work in the White House Military Office Airlift Operations Department. Essentially, you were going to do the logistics trail for the president. I was that guy. I was sent up there, like I said, in October of 2000. I did that job and took us right into September 11, 2001.
Wow, so the day happens, and everybody's watching. Either some of us are in New York, some of us are in Washington, or even in the heartland. They're watching it all unfold on TV. Do you remember your initial reaction when it all unfolded?
You know, absolutely. Our office was in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building. We're adjacent to the West Wing of the White House. On the east side is the Treasury Department, and the Eisenhower's on the west side. Someone came in that day shortly, you know, after 8:46 in the morning and said, "Hey, quick turn on the news. A small plane has just struck the North Tower of the World Trade Center." Mm. Like everybody else, we turn on, you know, the media. We're watching TV, and we're commenting, being mostly aviators in that office space. That's a pretty big hole for a small aircraft. That's a pretty clear day they have up there in New York. What possibly could have caused him to impact such a prominent landmark? Soon after, just like the rest of the world, we watched in horror as United Airlines Flight 175 just careened into the South Tower at full, you know, what looked like full power. And immediately we knew, the military knew, the Airlift Operations Office knew, we had a full-blown terrorist attack happening right before our eyes up there in New York City. We immediately went into planning mode. Everybody assumes that our first responders, our hospitals are going to be overwhelmed. We have mass casualties. So we were anticipating the White House to start directing FEMA and other agencies to get White House priority-type missions out of DOD. So Department of Defense owns all those aircraft. They would tell the Department of Defense, get me a C-17 or a big, heavy C-5 transport and get these relief supplies, these FEMA people, everybody up to New York. So we started planning for that. Fast forward just a few minutes later, here it is 9:30, and we're drowned out literally in our office by a low-flying airliner that flew over the White House. The White House is prohibited airspace. Nothing overflies the White House. And here we are, drowned out by this airliner. Well, one of the people in the office ran to the window and saw it in a hard left-hand turn heading west. A few minutes later on the TV, breaking news, there's an explosion and an impact over at the Pentagon. And we knew now that we not only had a terrorist attack happening in New York City, but we just had an air attack on Washington, D.C. as well.
So you're scrambling, and is that how it was all pulled together? Okay, so we're going to have set up, we've got the Situation Room, and we've got the VP, and then we've got to be able to get this information around to all three. We talk about the Pentagon and the Pentagon being hit. So what was the first order of business? What was the first thing you had to do after that?
Well, try to imagine this. Right after that happened, Kate, all of a sudden the loudspeakers, evacuate the White House. Evacuate the White House. All personnel, secure your personal space, your office space, and head to the rallying points. Time to evacuate the White House. I mean, that hasn't happened since Dolly Madison, you know, was grabbing portraits off the wall, heading out before the British got there. And here we are, we're evacuating the White House. Well, I grabbed my boss, who was a full-bird colonel at the time, and I said, "Colonel, the president obviously is not coming back to Washington, D.C. We just had an attack in the Pentagon. Wherever he's going to go, he needs his logistics package. He needs his helicopters, his phones, his limousines." He said, "Great, go on down into the President's Emergency Operations Center beneath the White House, and you do logistics." Great. Grabbed the planning kit. Out the door I went. As I got outside the executive office building, and I'm on West Executive Drive where the white awning is, I had to stop and just look for a second because all the White House staffers, the Secret Service has pulled out automatic weapons. They got the gates to the north and the gates to the south wide open. They're yelling on bullhorns, "Ladies and gentlemen, run, take off your heels and run. There's another plane inbound." Just an unbelievable sight, seeing such a secure location, wide open with so many people making a perimeter to the south and to the north, and sure enough, I knew I had to cross the street, show my credentials, and get down into the PIOC.
Yeah.
PIOC, and Kate, if I can just tell you that the PIOC, it exists. It's under the White House. You know, the capabilities of the bunker, if you will, are classified, but the mere existence isn't. As soon as I got inside there, and by the way, the PIOC is different than the Situation Room. The Situation Room is in the West Wing of the White House. It is a communications, you know, hub, if you will, but it's not a hardened facility. So with the attack happening on Washington, everything is now being transferred down into this PIOC. So when I got down there, I saw the vice president's military aide, and I said, "Hey, I'll stay out of your way. I'm just here to do logistics for the president." He said, "Bob, forget that. Answer the phones. They're ringing off the hook."
Oh. So phones are ringing off the hook because it's other people calling, maybe even other world leaders trying to get through, trying to figure out what to do. What kind of calls were you fielding?
Well, let me share my first phone call with you. I threw the planning kit down. I sat down at a console. The phone's ringing. I pick it up. It's Major Darling. And sure enough, it's the Situation Room upstairs. And their first data dump, if you will, to me was, we have another hijacked plane 16 miles south of Pittsburgh, inbound Washington, D.C. Mm. So I naturally, I turned to my right to pass it to Major Tom Sharpie there, the vice president's military aide. And sure enough, there's the vice president himself standing there going, Major, what do you got? Mr. Vice President, 16 miles south of Pittsburgh, inbound Washington, D.C., we have another hijacked plane. So try to imagine, now everyone's coming into the room. His wife, Lynn Cheney's with him, Secretary Mineta from Transportation, the National Security Advisor, Dr. Rice, her deputy, all the staffers, they're starting to come over to my console. The Vice President turns, he looks up at the speaker boxes, which are coming to life in the wall, and the first person he talks to is Rick from the FAA. Rick, can you confirm? We have another hijacked plane south of Pittsburgh, inbound Washington, D.C. They come back shortly thereafter. Mr. Vice President, they're not talking on the radio. They're not squawking their transponder code. They're well off course. Not the hijacked plane.
Wow.
The second person he reaches out to is Don Rumsfeld. He goes, Don, are you up? Sure enough, Secretary Rumsfeld is not up. He was outside in the parking lot over at the Pentagon assisting with the triage. But the National Military Command Center is the operation center, or the bunker, if you will, over in the Pentagon. And they said there's a general officer over there who said, Mr. Vice President, this is General Officer Montag. How can I help you, sir? And he said, this is his response to them. I want two F-15s. I want them at Otis Air National Guard Base. Let me know when they're airborne. Stand by to shoot this aircraft down.
And then, of course, we know the rest from there. There was all the speculation as to what went on, and the people on the plane rushed the cockpit, but you're getting just all the in-betweens of that, right, and then realizing then the plane goes down.
That's correct. For a few minutes there, we heard, we had the F-15 supersonic. They were asked if they were weapons free to engage. They were cleared hot, weapons free to engage. And a few minutes after we heard the report, aircraft down, 68 miles south of Pittsburgh, no survivors. The room was silent. By order of the vice president to the Pentagon, we thought that our Air Force had just engaged United Flight 93, with lethal force. The
wow.
Vice president turned to me, walked right over, and said, for the congressional inquiry, state your full name. I went, Major Robert Joseph Darling. He said, from Major Robert Joseph Darling to the Vice President to the National Military Command Center, we just shot that plane down. I really need to talk to the President.
Wow. This is riveting stuff. Hang on, everybody. We're going to be back with more here on America Tonight.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
On air, online, and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
For world-class auto detailing, use what the pros use worldwide. Sparkle Auto. At sparkleauto.com, the products and services we deliver are as good as it gets. And the knowledge behind them, even better. We always give you our absolute best, like our large 5-foot square chamois. It's Sparkle Auto's hottest selling item, voted by our customers as the most valuable chamois. This imported chamois is made of the highest quality microfiber artificial leather, so no scratching ever. It always remains soft, gentle, and pliable, no matter how much water it soaks up. The Sparkle Auto chamois will not shrink or grow stiff with age or dryness. See it and buy it now for only $19.95 plus shipping at sparkleauto.com. That's sparkleauto.com. Or call toll-free 866-372-9559. Experience the best customer service and our 110% price guarantee at sparkleauto.com. Call 866-372-9559 today for good value on top-of-the-line auto detailing products from sparkleauto.com.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
All right, we're back here on America Tonight. Very pleased to have on the show Lieutenant Colonel Robert Darling. He's talking about what it was like to be in that bunker, if you will, while everything was unfolding on 9/11. And Lieutenant Colonel, we were just talking about you stating your name for the record for a congressional inquiry. That had to just, I'm sure, send a chill up your spine when you realized just what was happening and thinking that the military had to take that plane out and not knowing what happened yet, right?
That's correct. For a few minutes, we thought that we had engaged that aircraft with lethal force. I will tell you, though, it was really like 2 minutes later than over the SATCOM radio, the satellite radio, we heard the F-15s never fired, the F-15s never fired. It was, and I really want to stress this, as you always do, it was the heroes on board that aircraft. It was Scott Beamer and the other passengers who realized there were no demands. They were not diverting. There were phone calls back to loved ones. They attempted to take that aircraft back from those terrorists, thwarted them in their attack to reach their target, and in the process lost their own life. Mm. Those are heroes.
Yeah, no kidding. And when everybody realized that, because you've got now a lot of people, you mentioned Condi Rice was there and the Vice President, Lynn Cheney, Mineta was there. It was just a packed house, really, and a lot of chaos in the sense of trying to figure out what was going on. So once you found that out, once that was known and that started to spread, what was the reaction of, like, the Dick Cheneys and Condi Rice? What was their reaction to that?
The whole day, I was just so impressed with the vice president, but he is definitely cool under fire. He showed no stress, no duress. I had to see him for what he really was. He was such an experienced Washingtonian, you know, if you will. He was a congressman, a White House chief of staff. He was a former secretary of defense and now vice president of the United States. When the rest of us were thinking that we had an airliner full of innocent civilians, he saw it for what it really was, unfortunately. The moment those terrorists took charge of Flight 93, it was a 150-ton Tomahawk cruise missile trying to reach probably the Capitol in Washington, D.C. And he took the unprecedented actions to, you know, being prepared to stop it from happening. He was truly unbelievable. Dr. Rice was a little more normal, if you will. I'll say not as calm. She was just as intrigued. But I'll tell you, this was her great event of the day, if you will. When we first got down there, it was truly a military organization, operation. All of us manning the phones, giving information to the vice president. And Dr. Rice, as national security advisor, could have interjected herself, but she stood back. She listened. She tried to find where she could interject and help. And if she couldn't, then she stayed behind and tried to gather information. That was so critical. That was so good of her, because later on in the day, you know, her task changed, and she was talking to world leaders, and she was gathering intelligence information. But she was not a hindrance. She was just such an asset in the PIOC that day.
So when you're in the PIOC and all that's happening, do they patch the president in? Because we know there's conversations with the president, but was he ever patched in?
Yeah, he was patched in multiple times throughout the day. And I'll share this with your listeners, too. Only the National Command Authority, which consists of the President of the United States and the Secretary of Defense, really have the legal authority to order our military into action. Now, when I gave the Vice President that information, he immediately ordered our military into action. Apparently, according to his own testimony and that of others, he had conversations with the President earlier that day before he and I met in the PIOC. So he was operating under the rules of engagement that President Bush obviously authorized him to have.
Yeah.
So there were conversations going on all day. And immediately after Flight 93 was on the ground, they had President Bush on the phone, and he instituted two programs. The details are obviously classified, but they're continuity of presidency, continuity of government. Obviously, the president, the vice president, and the Speaker of the House can't be in the same general location, geographical area. And obviously, continuity of government is the three branches of government. The principal leaders of those agencies or those branches need to be in different locations and spread out.
So you're going through all this, and now things are starting to become clearer a little bit later in the day. What did you transition into? Were you still, I mean, the phones were still ringing off the hook, and you were still doing that too?
We were doing that all morning, because right after Flight 93, now the order came to clear the skies. I want every aircraft on the ground, coast to coast. And we started that morning with 4,500 airliners, and now we're working it down to zero. Try to imagine those airline pilots who have 300 people sitting behind them that they're responsible for. Some are young kids, some need medicine, some are old, and they're being told you're not going to LAX in California, you're going to land in Ohio at the nearest suitable airfield. Well, they don't know what's going to happen when I get there, what services are going to be available, what ground transportation. Well, if they didn't follow instructions to the letter of the law, we assumed they were hijacked, and we started scrambling fighter jets after all these airliners that were either questioning their orders or trying to change their plans. Like, I don't want to land in Ohio. I want to try to make it over to Kansas, for example.
Right. And were there Were there a lot of aircraft doing that? I mean, I know there were reports of a handful, but did it seem like there were a lot that were trying to do that?
At the time, it seemed like a lot. We had at least 10 aircraft at one given time where we weren't sure either where they were or what they were trying to do, and we were rapidly searching and scrambling a section of fighters, you know, two F-18s or 16s or 15s, to go and join on their wing to see if, in fact, they're under duress or they're not complying with their instructions. So that was taking a big part of the morning. And then finally, Secretary Rumsfeld and President Bush and Cheney and Rice, they all had a conversation where Rumsfeld recommended to the president that we move our strategic nuclear forces from DEFCON 4, you know, DEFCON 5, Defense Condition 5 is peace, and Defense Condition 1 is imminent nuclear war. We were going to go from DEFCON 4 down to DEFCON 3, actually a higher state of readiness. And that, the reason why he said that was we were trying to get our military in motion. No matter what country you're in or what time zone you're in, whenever we change DEFCON conditions, all the branches of the military have things to do. They have playbacks, playbooks to break out and procedures to follow. So that was the quickest way to get everyone back to work. President Bush was so impressed with that, he said, let's do that. And not only that, have him stand by for DEFCON 2. Dr. Rice, who was sitting next to me, turned to me and said, Major, we haven't been to DEFCON 2 since the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. And here we are about ready to go worldwide DEFCON 3, stand by DEFCON 2. She herself, as the academic that she is, was very impressed with what was happening there. And sure enough, Vice President turned to her and said, Condi, make it happen. And as you can imagine, there's the red phone. She picks it up from the executive order of the President of the United States over to the Pentagon, move our forces to DEFCON 3, stand by DEFCON 2. They relayed that out to Cheyenne Mountain, Colorado. And then if the hair wasn't standing up on your arms by then, it certainly was after Cheyenne Mountain relays it to all the combatant commanders, United States combatant commanders around the world. CENTCOM is DEFCON 3, and SOUTHCOM, and Pacific Command, and Joint Forces Command, and NORAD, all the way around the horn. The United States is now in an offensive military posture.
Wow. And so this is happening, this is unfolding, as you were describing, the Vice President was cool and calm about everything. And when did it, when ultimately were things switched back? When did DEFCON change again?
It didn't change for days. I think they kept that DEFCON condition. But right after that, interestingly enough, my phone rang again, and it was the Situation Room going, I have Russian President Putin on the phone for the President of the United States. Will you take the call? So I'm like, naturally, I'm like, you're going to have to hold on just one second. I turn to the Vice President. I'm trying to get his attention. It's busy in the room. And finally, I yell out, I have President Putin holding for the President of the United States. Will you take the call? And the room went silent again. Vice President and Dr. Rice both look at me, and he tells Dr. Rice to come on over and take the call. And I was amazed. It was right there at my console, and they were talking plain language. Mr. President, our president is in motion. We don't know the size and scope of the attack. We don't know if it's over. Thank you very much for standing down your nuclear forces. He's going to call you the first chance he gets. And then she said goodbye. And we were sitting there going, wow, stand down your nuclear forces. What does that mean? And I later learned that whenever we change DEFCON conditions, so does Russia. So we're both equally at the same level of readiness or heightened level of readiness. Sure. So no one superpower sneaks up on the other.
Yeah,
and
no
that
kid.
Day, they decided not to match our higher state of readiness.
Wow. So all these things are happening so fast. You're scrambling. You're trying to do everything you can to accommodate everybody. How long, Lieutenant Colonel, were you there in the so-called bunker? How many hours straight?
Literally, you know, nearly 24 hours to the minute. Because after that was over and the president came back that evening, there was a real push to get all the intelligence information from all the agencies brought to the White House. They built them a secondary presidential daily briefing book, and he finally arrived at 6:30 p.m. that night. He was met by Dr. Rice. He gets down to the bunker. All the cabinet-level officials who were in Washington, D.C., or got back to Washington were trying to be there. If you were there, you were in. If you were late, you were out. The door was sealed. President Bush walked in. As you can imagine, to the executive side, they all stood, they all sat. He sat down, and right across from him was the vice president, giving him a 30-second data dump. And around the room it went. If you had something to say, say it. If you didn't, skip your turn. And all eyes were on the president. He's only been in office for 8.5, 9 months. We've never been tested. We don't know how he's going to handle or how his day was. It came all the way around to him. Finally, he looks up and says, FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, where are you at? It was Mr. Joe Alba. He said, I want you on the next plane out of here. Bring your checkbook and get up to New York. I hear it's a mess up there.
Wow.
Transportation, where are you? And that was Secretary Mineta. I want planes, trains, and automobiles up and operating by noon tomorrow. When you figure it out, let me know. I want to see my national security team upstairs in 5 minutes. The rest of you, thanks for coming. Up
Amazing.
Out of the stairs you went, and out the door you went.
Boy, when you were done 24 hours later, your head must have just been so scrambled. You couldn't help but be scrambled. It's been such a pleasure talking to you, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Darling. And, of course, the book is called 9-11-01, The White House, 24 Hours Inside the President's Bunker. Thanks for joining us on America Tonight. We appreciate the time.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
If you're in a service business, that's money ringing in your ears. If your phone's not ringing, chances are it's a problem with your marketing. Landscapers, painters, roofers, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, handymen. Anyone with a residential service business can build a huge and loyal customer base fast with the Magic Yellow Flyer. No more expensive newspaper, yellow pages, or internet pay-per-click ads. The Magic Yellow Flyer will have new customers calling you within 1 week. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. And the Magic Yellow Flyer comes with an outrageous 1 year guarantee. You will get new customers or your money back. For details, go to magicyellowflyer.com. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Visit magicyellowflyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit magicyellowflyer.com.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. 0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
If you've listened to America Tonight, folks, you know that I'm always beating everybody up. I know you have a lot of thoughts. Sometimes you can't get to a phone. Sometimes you don't want to call in. But you're very good. This audience is huge with the email. So I'm going to tell you the address again. If you've just started listening to us, send me your thoughts, americatonight.net, americatonight.net. And on that note, let's head to the mailbag. Our first one out of the chute.
The mail is here.
Ooh. Is Homer Simpson telling us the mail is here. And it's from Dennis McMahon. I love that, Homer Simpson. It's from Dennis McMahon, who says, the North Korean characterization of torpedoes as fish processing equipment reminds me of some real titles in the New York City Board of Education when I was an elected official there. A public relations person was called a multifaceted dissemination coordinator. There are a lot of things called not what they are. Maybe some folks can think of some. Boy, that's true. That would make a great show, Dennis, actually. How the spin, it's like resume spin, what people say they do, and they're And it's just a fancy way of some crazy title of what it actually really is. And he's making the crack at, you know, North Korea. It's interesting because the U.S. and South Korea are going to do some more naval drills. That's the word from Seoul, anyway. They're going to hold this joint anti-sub exercises in more of that, ha, 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 here we go. Here's our show of force against you, North Korea. And good for them. Pyongyang continues to renew all those threats against the drill. So this is going to be the second, if you're keeping score, in those joint maneuvers that they've planned to conduct. And this is all in response to something that happened back in March, the sinking of that South Korean warship that clearly was blamed on the North because independent investigators went over all the materials and everything and said everything that was left and said there's no way this is anything but the North Koreans. And too many people died. Too many sailors were lost in that 46 South Korean sailors. So I think it's good that South Korea keeps their foot on the neck of North Korea. And the U.S. has over 28,000 troops there as a deterrent against any kind of aggression from North Korea. Even though there's not the intention of invading the North, there's been this weird, as we know, in the 38th parallel, stare down. Can we move from Dennis on to our next victim here that sent an email just the other day? And it's Linda. Linda, listening to us, I'm not sure where, but she talks about Iraq, birth defects, and our military. She says, why don't you talk about how our country's military uses depleted uranium in their weapons and the horrible birth defects now in Iraq, or how those people live without electricity and how our embassy in Iraq is the size of 18 football fields. Oh, I've done that backwards and forwards when it talks, when I've talked about how many diplomats are left there, the whole State Department. It's crazy what was built in Iraq. And also, we aren't going anywhere. I always talk about the fact that we're not going anywhere. Talk about the billions of dollars missing in Iraq. Ad nauseum, we've been talking about that. All these unfinished projects. And also the fact that there's this missing money. It's like, oh, well, how much is missing? Billions, 50 billions, no worries. And then also she's saying, talk about the mercenaries our country pays for in Iraq, or how our returning soldiers are suffering the results of depleted uranium. And then she goes on to talk more about depleted uranium and looking at it and looking at the globalist banksters and their corporations and how our nation goes around the globe and invades and occupies Muslim countries where the women are. Where are the women talking about what our military is doing to the children in Iraq and et cetera, and whatever. And then she says, the little jab at the end, expand your mind and perceive how our nation is actually an imperialistic terrorist invading and occupying. I'm going to disagree there. I think there are many disgusting, terrible things that happened in Iraq. And, you know, my thoughts on Iraq, too, the money that was spent, first of all, what are we leaving with? What is victory? Absolutely, she's right about some of the things that happened to the civilians there. There's no question about that. We have absolutely talked about that with people on the air. And, of course, the fact that we're not really leaving there. Despite what the president says in turning the page, you still have soldiers there. Hello, what are they going to do? And then what happens to this government? Absolutely. But, and yes, there are some crazy things that are happening, no doubt, around the world that are more than disheartening. That's why I always say that I don't care if you're left, right, somewhere in between, have a different opinion. It doesn't matter. You just have to have an opinion. So I give Linda credit for her email and for touching base with us, because whether I agree with the ideas or not, I'm glad that people are formulating ideas and have thoughts on where we're going as a nation, because it is scary to me the direction we're headed in, and the price of the freedoms and to not pay attention is just too dangerous. And you cannot put the blinders on anymore, because if the more people that do that, the more that the country knows about the situation, some idiot, empty-headed kid in New Jersey that's making $5 million because he's on some television reality show, the more that happens, the more that it's easy for the sinister side to emerge and the power base to go through those levels of corruption that we've seen. And that's how we get the political machine, because people don't care who they're voting for. People don't even go out and vote. People don't pay attention enough. Absolutely, you're 100% right in what you're trying to tie together, I think, here, Lyndon, what you mean. And as I said, in Iraq, we have addressed all of those things on America Tonight. Absolutely. All right, we move on to another one here, and it's from Dale Schmidt. Dale's one of my favorite callers. He just always makes me laugh at the end because he sometimes throws us those crazy curveballs, and he addresses this in the email. To the queen of late-night talk radio, I pledge to you that I will no longer ask you on the radio dumb questions like what is icing in hockey and why do we call the football field a gridiron? And then he puts in parentheses, which is pretty funny, at least not until next time. So, touche, Dale. I think it's funny, and I was just teasing you the other night when you called in, and we were talking about very serious things, and then got to the end. You asked me about gridiron. All right, this one is from Jane Dix. Hey, I'm listening to you in Vermont. We're not talking too much about Hurricane Earl, although I think Massachusetts better look out. If you're looking at any of those pictures of where the hurricane is headed, it looks pretty scary, Kate. What do you think? Especially, you mentioned this earlier, talking about heading up north, the winds had the possibility of picking up. What do you think happens? Well, you know, I can't predict the future. I wish I could. But in looking, you're right, in looking at the map, it changes because something can be altered with the winds and the air. And, yeah, it might look one way 12 hours earlier, and then suddenly something happens, and it's a completely different thing that we're looking at when we see, you know, the satellite photographs of the hurricane. Bottom line is, there's definitely going to be a lot of rain, and there's definitely going to be flooding maybe in some areas. But if it brushes further out to sea, then mostly you're talking about beach erosion and high waves, staying off the beach, and crappy days at maybe the Jersey Shore or in Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard. Let's hope that's all it is. Let's hope that's the only thing that happens as a result. That would be the good news. This one's from Brett, listening to us in Austin, Texas. Hello, America Tonight. I can't wait for this Nail the Score. I don't think I've ever heard of Nail the Score. You mentioned it a couple of different times. You said something about a game of the week in the NFL. Tell me more. Okay, I'll say it again. Nail the Score happens next Thursday. It's in our third hour. Our computer randomly picks the game of the week. It could be any game. It could be the Cowboys and the Redskins, for example, which is the Sunday night game. If it is, you call in, you tell us who you think's going to win, Cowboys or the Redskins, and what you think the final score is going to be, like 27-21, 27-0, 14-7, I don't know, whatever score you think. And if you nail the score, you're a big winner, ding, 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 bragging rights and lots of prizes.